This is an iHeart podcast.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show. We have all kinds of stuff going on this hour. We are going to dig into the NASA fiasco, the communists destroying more American history. We are probably, if I can get to it, going to talk a bit about the three-year anniversary of Abbey Gate with our 13 warriors killed. I will touch on that a bit today. Some emails, lots of other things going on, but you know what time it is. Every single Monday at this time, start of the second hour, we do the exact same thing. We read a Medal of Honor citation. There are not only heroes, people don't know their names. They don't know their deeds. They don't know their names. All of these citations, every Medal of Honor citation that's ever been written is available for free online. Let me once again encourage you to do this in your own life with people you have influence over. I mean, your kids. You could read these with your kids. It's not like I did anything. This isn't my segment. Doesn't belong to me. You can do this with a sports team you coach, Sunday school, school itself. You patriot teachers out there who listen, nothing political about this. Can't get in trouble about doing reports on American heroes. And you might just find the kids enjoy it. There's an instinct in all human beings, men and women, to appreciate bravery and heroism. And remember, we do take email suggestions, although we're about a year behind at this point, so we get so many, but they're welcome. Remember, you can always send love, hate, death threats, ask Dr. Jesse questions and suggestions if you have some of these you like or you're related to someone, something like that. This one says, Jesse, I just learned about Drew Dix. He was an SF guy, that's Special Forces, Green Beret, deployed during the Tet Offensive, tasked with rescuing a nurse, Maggie Frankot, after a heavy battle, she was dragged from a house with an injured knee, loaded onto a Navy PBR, that's a boat. A year later, he was awarded the Medal of Honor by LBJ. Around that same time, Maggie married the naval officer, Lieutenant William H. Buddy O'Brien, that was the captain of the PBR. So without further ado, let's find out what Mr. Drew Dennis Dix Green Beret did in Vietnam.
Ready? Aim.
Honoring those who went above and beyond. It's Medal of Honor Monday.
For conspicuous gallantry and intrepidity in action at the risk of his life above and beyond the call of duty, Staff Sergeant Dix distinguished himself by exceptional heroism while serving as a unit advisor. Two heavily armed Viet Cong battalions attacked the province capital city of Chau Phu, resulting in the complete breakdown and fragmentation of the defenses of the city. Staff Sergeant Dix, with a patrol of Vietnamese soldiers, was recalled to assist in defense of Chau Phu. Learning that a nurse was trapped in a house near the center of the city, Staff Sergeant Dix organized a relief force, successfully rescued the nurse, and returned her to the safety of the Tactical Operations Center. Being informed of other trapped civilians within the city, Staff Sergeant Dix voluntarily led another force to rescue 8 civilian employees located in a building which was under heavy mortar and small arms fire. Staff Sergeant Dix then returned to the center of the city. Upon approaching a building, he was subjected to intense automatic rifle and machine gun fire from an unknown number of Viet Cong. He personally assaulted the building, killing 6 Viet Cong and rescuing 2 Filipinos. The following day, Staff Sergeant Dix, still on his own volition, this guy, assembled a 20-man force and, through intense enemy fire, cleared the Viet Cong out of the hotel, theater, and other adjacent buildings within the city. During this portion of the attack, Army of the Republic of Vietnam soldiers, inspired by the heroism and success of Staff Sergeant Dix, rallied and commenced firing upon the Viet Cong. Staff Sergeant Dix captured 20 prisoners, including a high-ranking Viet Cong official. He then attacked enemy troops who had entered the residence of the deputy province chief and was successful in rescuing the official's wife and children. Staff Sergeant Dix's personal heroic actions resulted in 14 Viet Cong killed in action and possibly 25 more, the capture of 20 prisoners, 15 weapons, and the rescue of 14 United States citizens and free world civilians. The heroism of Staff Sergeant Dix was in the highest tradition and reflects great credit upon the U.S. Army. That is freaking amazing and heroic. And speaking of heroic, we will do some Abbey Gate stuff in just a little while. Today is the 3-year anniversary of our 13 warriors giving their lives at Abbey Gate in Afghanistan. Trump honored them today in Arlington ceremony. There was a wonderful ceremony, but we'll get into that in a little while. I want to get back to something else we were just discussing about how false things, false notions, they can become so real for people. People will die for them. People will kill for them. And this world of make-believe Democrats live in, it is a world that has been completely constructed for them. When you hear the White House say things like this, this is a White House spokesman, your mind is just blown. And you say to yourself, I say to myself, no one believes this. What? That's insane. But liberal Aunt Peggy will repeat this Sunday.
Our economy is more resilient to the types of challenges that we faced. For example, you know, with respect to food, we're a net exporter of agricultural commodities, and obviously the high prices are hitting Americans very hard. But in a way that is different from some places that are facing famine, for example.
Yeah, prices are killing you, but hey. They're starving to death in other places. You don't have it that bad. You hear that and it's bonkers, right? But that's the world of make-believe. Here's a chart for you. This is a new chart courtesy of Gallup that came out. This is Americans' trust in mass media. Republicans, 10%. 10%. Republicans are obviously well aware by this point in time, the mass media, the corporate press, they really are the enemy. They are evil. They are agents of the system. They are out to smash little people and protect the people in power. They're evil. Independents, take heart in this. Independents, they know it too. Only 36% of independents have any trust in the mass media. So relatively non-political people, they understand they're being lied to at all times. But that brings us to a number that is honestly, it's disheartening. It's jaw-dropping, but it is revealing of how difficult this road is going to be as we try to navigate a country, sharing a country with these people. Do you know the percentage of American Democrats who trust the media? 73%. Yes, that's a good point, Chris. And they have the trends here, and the number's going up. The number is going up. The American media lies to you on purpose every minute of every day, and 73% of American Democrats will sit down and turn on CNN and think, gosh, that's the truth. And they will vote that way. That's why they do the things they do. That's why they say the things they say. The world of make-believe becomes reality for people, and they act on that. And that brings me to NASA, what's happening at NASA right now. So NASA, did you know we have astronauts who are stuck in space? They have been stuck in space. NASA can't get them back. And now we have a story today out of the New York Post. You see, Elon Musk has this company, this private space company called SpaceX. Elon Musk is going to rescue them. He's going to get them back because NASA, Boeing, they couldn't really figure out how to do it. In fact, Boeing employees have leaked comments to the New York Post today saying they're embarrassed, they're humiliated, they can't believe Elon Musk has to go up there and solve these problems and fix these problems. And so you would think things would change at NASA, but this is the training they go through at NASA.
These are those different characteristics that you probably see coming up a lot in our workspaces, especially in the practice of science. Perfectionism, a sense of urgency. I'm sure all of us are feeling.
This is a NASA call. This is not a college. This is NASA.
A sense of urgency about some of the deadlines that we maybe have.
If you feel a sense of urgency, that's white supremacy.
Right now. The idea of power hoarding, the idea of individualism over collectivism.
This is NASA training. I just want to reemphasize this is NASA training. You know what? I'm going to play this. I wasn't going to play it. I'm going to play this in its entirety. We're going to discuss NASA. And again, this false world becoming reality, even to the point of disaster. Before I get to that, I want to do this. Why do you think? Why do you want to think? They don't want to think. Well, you're an individual. You're a free person. You want to be able to use your mind. That's what chalk is all about. You having the energy, having the mind that can think through all the filth we have out here right now. And there's so much of it. You hear testimonial after testimonial. They email into the show where they take chalk lit powder for 90 days, how they feel. Where they take a male vitality stack for 90 days, how they feel. A female vitality stack. Once you start, you will never stop. I'm on, I believe, year 3 of male vitality stack. Gosh, I feel so good all the time. Get one. Get a subscription so you save a bunch of money. CHOQ.com, promo code Jesse, saves you that money. Chalk.com, promo code Jesse. We'll be back.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Going to address some family problems we're having. I just want always want to be honest with you about that. As soon as we get done with the NASA talk we're having here, so NASA is one of those things. Again, it may depend on your age how you feel about NASA. We've had this talk before. Accepting what has happened to formerly revered institutions gets more and more difficult the older you are. I'm 43. It's harder for me to accept that NASA is now rancid filth than it is for a 20-year-old because he didn't grow up. He hasn't been around for long enough to revere it. And it's easier for me to accept than it is a 63-year-old. That's not because I'm dumber or the 63-year-old is dumber. It's just length of time is baked into you as a person. It's hard to accept what has happened to our formerly revered institutions. We have astronauts stuck in space. NASA can't get them back. This is NASA training.
These are those different characteristics that you probably see coming up a lot in our workspaces, especially in the practice of science. Perfectionism, a sense of urgency. I'm sure all of us are feeling a sense of urgency about some of the deadlines that we maybe have right now. The idea of power hoarding, the idea of individualism over collectivism, quantity.
Gosh, is there anything worse than the person who won't shut their dog up on the Zoom call?
Over quality, either or thinking. And so all of these things can really.
Honestly, how hard is it to put the dog out back when you're on a Zoom call? I have no idea. If your dog won't shut up, if you have one of those little yapping dogs, put the dog out back. Gosh.
Limit the way we go about doing our work, and they can really limit the way we are able to connect with communities that come from different cultural backgrounds that don't value these things the same way that white supremacy culture values them.
That wasn't Berkeley. That wasn't some crazy college. That's NASA. That's their training. Oh, you thought that was all? There's tons and tons of this. There's hordes of it. We could do it the whole
show.
And
in doing this work of examining my own intentions and my own actions and their impact, I can see that there's so much more that I could have done to make the projects I've led equally welcoming to Black, Indigenous, and people of color as the white people they have engaged. I feel a lot of shame and regret about that. And I know that without looking head on at what I've done and not done, I won't be able to do better. So I'm looking forward to today's event and to this whole series as steps in my personal and professional journey to make my work more anti-racist and therefore more effective in reaching my aspiration.
They're telling astronauts they have to stay an extra 6 months in space, and they're holding seminars about the shame they feel that they didn't bring in more indigenous people into the science work at NASA. And as the astronauts are stuck in space with Elon Musk having to go get them, there is not some all hands on deck meeting coming at NASA where they're deciding, hey, this DEI stuff has got to go away. Clearly, we have fallen off. We need to focus on only merit, the best and brightest, doesn't matter about gender or skin color or whatever it is. We have too important of a mission. Now we see how losing focus has cost us in the mission, and we are dumping all of this insanity, and we're these talks are not happening at NASA. In Boeing, wheels are dropping from the sky. Doors on commercial airliners are popping out mid-flight. And to date, there has not been one meeting of any record that anyone can point to of Boeing getting together and saying, oh, gosh, guys, whew, we went all in on this DEI stuff. And clearly, the product has suffered. People are going to die if we don't fix this. Let's drop all that and only focus on merit now. If you think that day is coming, you are wrong. Dead wrong. That way of thinking is what you and I do to comfort ourselves. We think to ourselves, surely once it gets so bad, they will stop the insanity. Once it hits bottom, once it gets painful enough, once this happens, once that happens, then they'll stop all this ridiculousness and only focus on what matters. Wrong, false, will not happen. What I'm trying to get through when I talk about this is we must defeat these people. They're not going to quit. They're not going to give up. They're not going to realize the error of their ways and change. If you and I do not dig in and defeat these people, we lose to these people. And the dumbest, most insane people on the planet will run everything. And more specifically, they will ruin everything. And they will never look out at the sea of death and misery they've created and blame themselves. Never once. Don't think that day will come, because it will not. A completely alternate reality has been created in the minds of millions of Americans, and now these robots simply must be defeated. Period. End of story. Biden-Harris administration warns kindergartners climate change will leave entire cities underwater. Who's handling that initiative? NASA. For climate kids. That's reality. Now, I have to discuss some things that are going on at home, and this is going to hurt, but I need to be honest with you about something. Before I get to that, let's get to Tunnel to Towers. Because after I get done with my family story and some emails, we're going to talk about Abbey Gate and fallen first responders, Gold Star families. You know, today is a 3-year anniversary that we're going to discuss on the radio, but this anniversary holds a lot deeper meaning for people whose son or daughter didn't survive that day. Who is there for families when their loved one gives the ultimate sacrifice? In the line of duty, first responders, Gold Star, who's there? Tunnel to Towers is the one who's there. Tunnel to Towers. They ask all of us for $11 a month. That's all they've ever asked for. Sign up to give it automatically. You'll never know it's gone. What does that do? You pay off mortgages for Gold Star families, fallen first responder families, at least lifting some of the financial burden that comes with that terrible day. Go to T2T.org. T2T.org. We'll be back.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday. Remember, if you missed any part of the show, including Medal of Honor Monday or any of that stuff, download it, iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. If you want to email me, and I'm going to get to some emails in a moment, email me, Jesse at jessekellyshow.com. I need to do something a little personal first. It's very personal, but I've always tried to be, well, I'm just honest with you. About, I tell you about the things I go through that are good, that are bad. I tell you who I'm voting for. I just look, we have 3 hours together every day. Radio is very, very intimate. So if I was lying about something or trying to cover something up, you would figure it out. You would you know who I am. It's not difficult. You see me in public, you know me. You spend 3 hours with me every day. So I need to be honest whenever there are family problems in the Kelly household. So here it is. It'll take me a minute. It's hard to get out, but I need to just be frank with you. You know, I got the ice maker, right? I got a countertop ice maker, and now we are flush with ice. We have ice all the time. I'm just blown away by how cold my drinks were all weekend long. My oldest son, James, who has been... Look, I've tried the hardest I can to be a good father to him. And I know I've fallen short, but I've tried to instill values in him, teach him right from wrong. I've done the best I can to be a good father to James because I love him so much. But he came to me on Saturday. And this is what he said. Because he had a cross-country meet this Saturday. He had to get up at, well, I had to get up with him at 4:45 to get, it was, you know, it's sports day, but he came to me on Saturday and he said, Dad, can we turn off the ice maker at night? It's making too much noise and I'm having trouble sleeping. That's what he said that to me, right to my face. Can we turn off the ice maker because it's affecting my sleep? Obviously, nobody wants to hear something like that from their own child. Nobody wants to be betrayed by their own kin. I want you to know we're still working through this. Obviously, he's not allowed to have any more ice from the ice maker. We had a long talk about priorities, about what really matters. Does your sleep matter more than the family being flush with ice? No, obviously it doesn't. So we had to have that talk. And he wanted to know how long he was banned from ice, how long he was banned from the ice maker. And I told him, it's forever, forever. It doesn't matter what happens now. You can never touch the ice maker again. That's the cost of disrespect. So I told you I'd be honest with you. That's what we're going through in the Kelly household. Let's get to some emails. Hey, Jesse, I met my neighbor at the bar yesterday, a veterans bar. I assumed I was in a safe space to talk until he lays on me that he loves CNN and Rachel Maddow. I was a few drinks in and made the mistake of saying, you have an American flag in your front yard. The left hates America. He and his friend couldn't have been more opposed to what I was saying. I live in North Dakota, man. It really hit me how bad it is. I sit here and listen to my podcasts and assume everyone is figuring it out. Everyone is not figuring it out. There are people who watch the most disgusting filth on television, the lies given to them by the American media, and they just take it hook, line, and sinker. And remember, because our institutions are so poisoned and taken over now, you have to be active about seeking out the truth. There's no longer a passive truth thing, meaning you could just kind of go through life, work, newspaper, news at night, maybe pull up something on your phone. You can't be passive about it unless you're seeking out news sources, right-wing news sources. You don't know anything about anything at all. I want you to listen to something. This is Tom Cotton, Senator Tom Cotton. He did excellent here of Arkansas. He was on ABC. And listen to the false premise they lay out there. And Cotton does a really, really good job of fighting back. So that's good. I want you to pay attention to that. But more than anything, look at these quote truths they just throw out that aren't anything close to the truth at all.
President Trump is going to draw a sharp contrast with Kamala Harris, who has supported things like decriminalizing illegal immigration or giving taxpayer-funded health insurance to illegal aliens or taking away health insurance on the job for 170 million Americans, banning gas cars, confiscating firearms.
What do you mean taking away health insurance? What are you talking about?
She said when she ran for president that she wants to eliminate private health insurance on the job, 170 million Americans, John.
Yeah, I mean that is not her position now. She knows.
How do you know that's not her position? How do you know that's not her position?
I mean, she says she no longer supports Medicare for all.
She has not said.
Do you hear Tom Cotton? He said she's not said that at all. Is that John Carl, on his own, decided he doesn't want that to be your position, and on ABC News, he broadcasts that to the United States of America that she's changed. She hasn't changed a thing.
Okay. Maybe anonymous aides on a Friday night have said that, but the last thing that she said.
But
on
this was not a radical convention. I mean, she.
Listen to what Carl does. I want you to pay attention to this because this is exactly how you will end up in a debate with a communist. First, remember, the truth is not in him. The truth is not in him. And remember, the truth doesn't matter to him. In fact, I'm going to stop this and I'll start it from the beginning. The truth is not what matters. You care about truth. You focus on truth. It couldn't be further from this guy's mind. The revolution is all that matters. Remember what the CEO of NPR said?
I think our reverence for the truth might have become a bit of a distraction that is preventing us from finding consensus and getting important things done.
The truth doesn't matter to them. First, John Carl argued with him and said that's not her position. And then as soon as he gets blasted down, you notice how John Carl doesn't go, oh, I didn't realize. I thought she refuted it. Notice how he doesn't miss a beat. I'll let it play now. He doesn't miss a beat. As soon as Cotton shoots him down on that, he just changes tactics and uses a completely different argument.
President Trump is going to draw a sharp contrast with Kamala Harris, who has supported things like decriminalizing illegal immigration or giving taxpayer-funded health insurance to illegal aliens or taking away health insurance on the job for 170 million Americans, banning gas cars, confiscating firearms.
What do you mean taking away health insurance? What are you talking about?
She said when she ran for president that she wants to eliminate private health insurance on the job for 170 million Americans, John.
Yeah, I mean that is not her position now. She knows.
How do you know that's not her position? How do you know this?
See, that's his first argument. That's not her position now, which Cotton rightly shoots down.
Not her position.
I mean, she says she no longer supports Medicare for all.
She has not said that. Okay. Maybe anonymous aides on a Friday night have said that, but the last thing that she said.
But this was not a radical convention. I mean, she as you heard me go through with Bernie Sanders.
Change the subject. Immediately shot down. You just lied, John Carl. You said that she changed her position. Tom Cotton shot him down. Immediately changes the subject. Well, I mean, the convention wasn't radical. This is how liberal Aunt Peggy argues. We have to learn how to deal with it.
She is not taking the positions of the far left of her party. She's clearly making an effort to move to the middle.
I did hear what you said to Senator Sanders, and I thought it was clear that he's very disappointed that she's taking these efforts not to change her positions, but to hide her positions, John. The American people are totally justified to conclude that Kamala Harris is a dangerous San Francisco liberal based on what she campaigned on the last time she ran for president and what this administration has done for the last 4 years. Again, you would have thought watching the Democratic convention last week that the Democrats are not in office, that they're not in power, that they're campaigning against an incumbent Republican, when in reality, she's been part of the failures of the Biden-Harris administration for 4 years. And when she campaigned for president in her own right, she did, in fact, promise things like decriminalizing illegal immigration and taking away health insurance.
But that's a position she's clearly changed on, and she said she has changed. Yes, she has.
No, she has not. John, she has not said that.
Don't let them do that to you. Cotton handled that really well. Compliments to him. Don't let them do that. Lie and then try to move on. Lie. Do not let them do that. Stay calm. You keep them focused on it. All right. We'll do some more emails here, and then we're going to get to the Abbey Gate stuff, which is going to be hard. That'll be heavy. Let's get to this, because there are a lot of things that are heavy in life.
It is as heavy as 10 boxes that you might be moving.
Did you move any boxes this weekend? You have pain? Are things you do in life, do they cause you pain? Little things, things you love even, maybe going for a bike ride. Do you not golf anymore? What don't you do because of the pain in your life? What if you could bring that activity back into your life? Would it make your life better? Have you tried Relief Factor? Relief Factor is drug-free. You can fight that daily pain naturally. Don't mask it and don't ignore it. Get rid of it. Let Relief Factor get rid of it for you. Call 1-800-4-RELIEF or go to relieffactor.com. We'll be back.
Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday. It's been an awesome Monday. I can't get over my son complaining about the noise of the ice maker. You want to talk about disrespect because he can't sleep because it's too loud. I don't even know who he is anymore. Let's get back to the emails. Jesse, if an Iran hit squad took out President Trump before the election, do you think the Biden-Harris regime would go to war over it or make an excuse that these were rogue actors and not do anything? He didn't say I could use his name, so I will not. No, I think they'd probably send Iran some money for it. I think they pay for it. Look, why do we have to sit and tiptoe around things here? I find this ridiculous, and I think these people on the right who try to make every excuse for the left, I think they're crazy. Have you noticed the tone down in rhetoric since Donald Trump almost got his head blown off? Have you noticed that? Oh, you haven't noticed it? You haven't noticed any slowdown or backing off at all? Why do we make our own world of make-believe? Speaking of worlds of make-believe, why do we construct our own and pretend as if dirty communists aren't murderous savages who want people dead? Why do we pretend as if that's a thing? Have you noticed the Supreme Court rhetoric? Do I have to bring all that up again? Chuck Schumer, endless powerful Democrats denouncing the Supreme Court, threatening the Supreme Court. You'll reap the whirlwind. And a young man, another crazy street communist, packed a weapon and got on a plane and flew from California to murder Brett Kavanaugh. By a miracle, was caught, courtesy of his sister, right outside of Kavanaugh's home. And Democrats haven't backed off, slowed down, or ramped down the rhetoric about the Supreme Court for even half a second. Why? Because they want judges murdered. They want them dead. They're totally fine with them dying. If they weren't fine with them dying, they would call off their street animals. They would tone down their rhetoric. They've done neither of those two things. In fact, they continue to encourage their street animals and ramp up their rhetoric. Donald Trump just about had his head blown off. Why? Because of a 6, 7, 8 year media campaign calling him a Nazi, Hitler, white supremacist, end of democracy, Nazi, Hitler, Nazi, Hitler, Nazi, Hitler. Finally, some 20-year-old almost blows his head off, and they didn't miss a beat. Nazi, Hitler, Nazi, Hitler, Nazi, Hitler, end of democracy. Why? Because they want him dead. Stop with these games. This is why they program the robots they program. I just read the chart for you. What is it? 73% of Democrats, 73% believe the mass media. Republicans, it's 10%. Democrats, it's 73%. Mass media has told the American Democrat for 8 years that Donald Trump is Adolf Hitler. Democrats want Donald Trump dead because they think he's Hitler. And they've told their followers he's Hitler. They wouldn't have been sad about it. They wouldn't even have pretended to be sad about it. Maybe you would have gotten half a day of a statement. Well, anyway, we're kind of bummed. Anyway, let's move on, guys. They wouldn't be bummed at all. Not even a little bit. And we should stop making excuses for these demons. They construct these monsters in their mind, oftentimes out of nothing. you have this fairly moderate New York Republican who's been, frankly, a Democrat most of his life and still holds Democrat positions on many issues like LGBTQ stuff and abortion stuff and things like that. And these sick freaks on the left pretend as if he's Francisco Franco, some hardcore right-wing monster who wants to imprison his opponents. They want him dead. They want him dead. It's not that they'd be okay with him dying. They want him to die. Period. End of story. And if Iran came over there and did it, they'd be celebrating it. I've said it before. What if you got picked for jury duty? And on that jury, you find out the person who's on trial is Adolf Hitler. They brought him back to life. They're not. He never died. He's alive. All those millions of people dead. And Adolf Hitler is on trial and you're on the jury. Only he's not on trial for, you know, Holocaust or any of those other things. He's on trial for unpaid parking tickets. Something stupid like that. Unpaid parking tickets. And during this trial, just stay with me. During this trial, there is no concrete evidence produced by the prosecution to show he has unpaid parking tickets. None. You don't see a single piece of documentation showing Hitler ever got a parking ticket. Yet, when it comes time to make a verdict, how are you voting? Guilty or not guilty? Oh, what's that? You're going to vote guilty? Really? Why is that? Because it's Adolf freaking Hitler. Of course you're voting guilty. As crazy, as inaccurate as it is to the American Democrat, top to bottom, this is senators, House members, governors, to the average street animal out there burning things, to your liberal Aunt Peggy who's about to ruin your Labor Day, to the American Democrat, they believe Donald Trump is Adolf Hitler. You can talk until you're blue in the face and tell them why that's crazy, but that's what they believe. And the reason the system made him out to be that is once you turn your opponent into a monster, into something that's less than human, it gives your conscience the excuse it needs to do whatever you want to do to that person. After all, what couldn't you do? What couldn't you justify doing to Adolf Hitler? Your conscience will allow you to do whatever you want because Hitler's a monster. So if you have a gigantic programmable population who believes the American media, you simply tell them repeatedly that he's Adolf Hitler, and what you'll have is a standing army of violent people who think they're the good guy. Period. End of story. Now let's talk about the bad guys. Let's talk about Abby Gate really quickly. Let's honor the fallen. Before we do that, let me do this one. Anti-communist, I can't believe I'm going to say this, but here goes. My wife and I and our boys, we moved from blood red Florida to blue upstate New York. It's short term due to my wife's promotion. I'm fortunate I have a well-oiled business. I have time on my hands. My question is, how can I help preborn in a hands-on way in upstate New York? I'm as hardcore on abortion as you are, Jesse. I appreciate your insight. His name is Matthew. Matthew, anybody who wants to get involved with preborn, reach out to them, because here's what they do, especially if you're in a blue area. You actually have more of an opportunity now. Everyone can donate. $28, everyone can give that from anywhere, or $28 million. I don't care what you give. It's all tax deductible. Anyone can save a life that way by buying the ultrasounds. But they put their pro-life centers in the highest abortion areas in the country, in the bluest areas, to try to save the most people. Get a hold of them. Get a hold of them. And also go to preborn.com/Jesse and give what you can. Save a life. preborn.com/Jesse. Sponsored by Preborn. We'll be back.
This is an iHeart podcast.